Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Elad Gil's High Growth Handbook. Sophie, I have to ask, what's the one moment when a founder realizes they need this book?
Hey there, Sam.
I think it's the moment when you wake up and your user base is doubling every month, investors are calling, the press is writing about you, and you suddenly realize that the chaos is going to swallow you whole. Gil calls this the most dangerous moment in a company's life.
Right, because everyone thinks hypergrowth is the dream, but it's actually a crisis.
Exactly. And the book's central thesis is that scaling is a fundamentally different game from starting up. The skills that got you to product market fit, speed, scrappiness, intuition can actively harm you at scale. You can't just do more of what you were doing before.
So what's the first thing a CEO needs to change?
The CEO's job itself. Most founders assume they should keep doing what they're good at, building product or closing deals. But Gil says the CEO's primary job during hypergrowth is to become a chief problem spotter and bottleneck remover.
I love that framing. You're constantly asking, where is the friction? Where is communication breaking down? Which decision is only being made by me that should be made by someone else?
Yes.
And that often means letting go of the parts of the business you love most. You have to trust others to run them so you can focus on the organization itself.
That's hard. Let's talk about hiring, because that's the biggest lever, right?
Absolutely. And Gil has a crucial nuance on the conventional wisdom of hire slowly, fire quickly. He says you need to hire ahead of the curve. By the time you feel the pain of needing a senior executive, you're already 6 months behind.
So you're recruiting for roles you'll need in a year, not today. That takes serious strategic foresight.
Right. And he introduces the concept of the layer in management. You need to hire executives who have operated at the layer above, where you currently are. If you're a team of 50, you need a VP who's managed 100.
Which brings us to the painful topic of firing early employees. The people who helped you build the product in the garage might not be able to scale with you.
Gil is very honest about this. It's not a moral failing on anyone's part. The skills that make a brilliant early engineer, moving fast, breaking things, no process, become liabilities at scale. He advises being generous and helping them find a role that fits, even if it's at another company.
Holding on out of loyalty when someone is clearly struggling is actually cruel to them and destructive to the company.
Exactly.
And then there's culture. In a small team, culture is implicit. But when you add 100 people in a quarter, that implicit culture evaporates. You have to make it explicit.
So write down your values, not as platitudes, but as operational principles that guide hiring, firing, and decision-making.
Yes. Gil calls it a culture document. And it holds everyone accountable, including the founders. If you say you value radical transparency but hold secret meetings, the culture rots from the inside.
Okay, what about boards? Most founders view them as a necessary evil.
Gil reframes the board as a strategic asset. You have to manage it proactively, communicate with members individually between meetings, never surprise them. And the meeting itself should be a working session focused on the 3 or 4 most important strategic questions.
So you're leveraging their experience and networks, not performing for them. I also loved what he says about negative signals.
Oh, that's one of my favorite parts. In a high-growth environment, everyone wants to talk about the positive metrics. But Gil argues that the most important data points are the negative ones: churn rate, drop-off points, and profitable segments, rarely used features.
Those are the early warning signs. A company that ignores churn while celebrating acquisition is building on sand.
Right.
And you need a culture where bad news travels fast and is met with curiosity, not blame. The ability to face unpleasant truths is a hallmark of great leadership.
The book also covers co-founder relationships, which can get strained under pressure. Gil says you need explicit conversations about roles and expectations regularly, not just during crises.
Yes. And sometimes the best outcome is for one co-founder to step into a different role or even leave. That's painful, but better than a slow, toxic dissolution.
Another big idea is process as freedom. Early stage startups pride themselves on having no process, but at scale, lack of process leads to chaos.
Good process is like a highway system. It lets traffic move faster and safer. But you have to design lightweight, adaptable processes and regularly audit them. If a process isn't creating more value than it consumes, kill it.
So the goal is coordination at scale, not bureaucracy. And then there's the product side. He warns against the second system effect, where you try to rebuild from scratch because the code base is messy.
That's almost always a mistake. You should refactor and improve incrementally while maintaining momentum. And you need a clear framework for allocating resources between new initiatives and optimizing the core product.
Let's talk about fundraising, because that changes too at the growth stage.
Right.
Gil advises thinking of fundraising as a continuous process, not a discrete event. Build relationships with investors long before you need the money. And when you do raise, tell a compelling story about the future, not just the past. Investors want to see unit economics, cohort analysis, and a path to profitability.
He also warns against raising too much money too quickly, which can lead to bloat and loss of focus.
Exactly. And the book also covers technical debt and organizational debt. Both accrue interest. You can take on debt intentionally, but you need a plan to pay it down, or it will cripple you.
So the companies that fail are the ones that keep taking on debt without ever paying it back. The interest eventually becomes unmanageable.
Right.
And in the final sections, Gil looks beyond scaling to the long-term horizon, going public, acquisitions, building a company that can outlast its founders. He argues the ultimate goal is to become a permanent institution.
That requires a shift from building a product to building an organization. The founder becomes a steward of long-term potential.
The unifying idea is that high growth is not a straight line. It's a series of S-curves with plateaus and crises. The companies that succeed navigate them with clarity and resilience.
For me, the one thing I'm taking away is that the CEO's job is to design the system, not just drive results. You have to think about the organization as a machine.
That's a great takeaway. And if you want to dive deeper into this or any other book, the whole library is on the 7-Minute Books app, over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, starting at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. You can find it at 7minutebooks.com/app.
And Sophie, I think the real point of this book is that hypergrowth is a crisis you can survive if you're willing to change everything about how you lead.
Exactly.
It's not about growing faster. It's about building an organization that can handle the growth you're about to experience. We'll see you in the next one.